Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Claire Venice.
I'm as mad as a March hare.
And spring is in the air in this week's Peapod.
Thank you for joining us in this week's Peapod. It's March, and what better way to start this new month but with fresh ideas for local walks, cycle paths and horse trails from Tim Speller at the Queen Elizabeth Country Park.
We also hear from Shine Radio's Kate Fairweather as she brings us a clip of her new programme, Dogs with Jobs.
Ryan Watts from the Petersfield Museum has another 60-second history. John Walker from the Petersfield Post has the latest local news. And Susie enjoys a different kind of wild walk in her garden.
And this week we end with music from Havant-based band Barbudo and their funky song Magnolia Mansion.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone's welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire, how are you?
Hi, Geoff. I'm all right, thank you. And you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Can I just start by saying I missed you last week? H did a fantastic job, but I did miss you.
It was strange not doing the Peapod. And yes, you're right, Harrison did do a fantastic job. Thank you, Harrison, for standing in. But it's nice to be back, Geoff, talking to you again.
So, Claire, what have you been up to in the last week?
Well, we've been getting ready for school, actually, when the announcement came that the children will definitely be going back on March the 8th or, you know, around about that date. There was a mad scramble upstairs to try all the clothes on and shoes on.
Yeah.
So I had to buy, well, particularly for the nine-year-old. Luckily, the teens haven't grown too much. So the nine-year-old has grown a lot. So school shoes, trainers, shirts, shorts. She wears shorts. Pretty much a whole new setup, actually. And you, Geoff?
The biggest concern in this household is haircuts. Both boys haven't had their haircuts since October. It's not looking good, can I just say. I have offered the clippers, but they're not interested. So
hairbands? Alice bands?
Yeah, to help them out, I've decided to grow my hair. So I haven't had my hair cut since the beginning of December. And I thought, no, I'm going to come out in sympathy with you and I'll wait. Doesn't look much at the moment. But here's hoping that I can at least cover my bald patch on the top of my head. Nice little comb over. I'm going to go for a top Bobby Charlton.
So there's lots of sort of, lots of going through hair products at your house at the moment then.
Yeah.
Lots of styling.
I haven't had product in my hair for years, I tell you.
You might need to if you're growing it long.
So Claire, have you been in town recently?
I actually went in Monday afternoon. I hadn't been for a while, hadn't needed to, but I popped in, lovely day, not a lot of people in town. It is still so strange to go in and, you know, it's lovely now, you know, it's spring-like and you kind of expect the bustle to be there and, you know, people walking around, enjoying the weather, having coffees outside and all that sort of stuff, but that wasn't happening when I went in on Monday afternoon, so it's odd. I can't wait for that to come back.
Yeah. And what do you think of the traffic calming, all the bollards and, as John Walker calls it, Busgate, where no cars are allowed through between Lloyd's and HSBC, but they still do? What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's not good, is it? Because it's crossing that road from Rams Walk over to the other side towards the square, it just would be nice to know if there should be a zebra crossing or something there, perhaps. I know this is a quite heated debate happening at the moment, but it would be nice to walk across and not know that there's anything coming.
I met up with John yesterday, as per, and while we were standing there talking, someone actually went the wrong way round the square and then through the no entry past HSBC. It was great to watch.
Do you think people are taking more liberties now that they know there isn't a lot of traffic in town and then they kind of think, oh, I'm just going to sneak in because I can and there won't be anything in the way now and I can probably get away with something? Because there was someone who was speeding pretty fast round by Josie's today to go into the square and I was quite surprised to see that.
Right. I think they are. There doesn't seem to be anyone around marshalling up the high street, so people think they can get away with it. As I say, I was walking past Beeman's, and this car came through the no entry. He was singing along to Simply Red. He had Simply Red blaring out for some unknown reason, I don't know why anyone would play Simply Red that loud and sing along with it. And he was waving at people as he went through the no entry.
Oh, no. Was it the fact he was going through the no entry, or was it the fact that he was playing Simply Red that offended you the most?
I don't know. I don't know which is worse.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Everyone's got their opinions, and you know, I hope they work it out, because when the shops do reopen, we really want to help those local independent businesses to stay afloat and to keep going. And so to work out the best scenario for traffic, pedestrians, cyclists, you know, it's a hard job, but I hope it does work out.
And we do have a number of car parks, and they are all within touching distance of the square, of Rams Walk, and that type of thing. And to say, when I met up with John, the sun was out and there was people standing on the square, just milling around. And you just think, if the high street was shut, you could have the bars and the pubs and the cafes with tables on the square and people could just relax.
Yeah, the square, that would be brilliant. The thing about the car parks, you know, I, for someone, because I don't live in town, I drive into town, I like those little 30-minute slots. You know, I like just popping in, because sometimes I don't need an hour. I don't need 2 hours. I don't want to have to pay for 2 hours. So if that is going to happen, then I think possibly the length of time that's allowed in the car parks, if you've got to pay, should be reconsidered, I think, because those little half-an-hour slots are important.
Yeah, 20 minutes. I know when I worked at Hayling, the first 20 minutes was free.
Mm.
And that just gives you a little time to get in and out.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. There's a lot to consider, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a lot of discussion across the whole board, from the councils, from the people of Petersfield, just to find the right way.
Now, on a slightly different subject, but still talking about transport, I know you enjoy your walks, Geoff. You go on a walk on a Sunday morning, don't you, if I remember rightly?
Yes.
And do you do the same walk each time, or do you change it up and try different routes?
If it's wet, we've got a road walk, which is about 8 miles. But we always do seem to tend to end up trying to go to Berriton, Kewy Park and around. I do feel we need to try somewhere different. I did ask my father about a good walk, and he was telling me one, and I forgot within 10 minutes. Went right over my head. And I haven't looked at a map since I was at Cubs.
Yeah, maybe it's a good idea to look at it again then, John. Yeah, we've got Tim Speller from Kewy Park coming up, actually,
right.
who's got some interesting, you know, it's interesting to talk to him about Kewy Park and all that's on offer there, because it's right on our doorstep and I don't really go down there as often as I should. It's got so much on offer. So maybe now the months are getting brighter and warmer and the days are getting longer, I might be able to sort of, you know, take more advantage of what we've got on offer there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing that, because I say we hit the edge of Kewy Park over the weekend, and it'd be nice to know whereabouts I could go. We love to hear from you, so if you have a story you'd like us to cover or would just like to say hi, please do get in touch. We're on 01730 555 500 or email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey in Petersfield's Peapod.
Coming up, Tim Speller inspires us to enjoy our local country park and Susie enjoys the twilight. But first, John Walker and Geoff take in the early spring weather as they discuss the latest news from Petersfield and the surrounding villages.
It's Sunday, the sun is out, and I'm stood here with John Walker from the Peaceful Post. John, how are you?
Very well, boyo. I'm Welsh today, don't you know?
Wow. A couple of weeks ago he was Scottish, this week he's Welsh. John, what did you think of the rugby?
Well, boyo, I thought it was great. I've been drinking that dragon bitter all evening.
Yes, well, we won't dwell on the rugby or sport in general, because it's not been the greatest weekend. So, John, how's your week been?
Yeah, it's been okay. The weather's obviously made a great improvement to everybody's state of mind, I think. It's been fantastic to get out for some good walks, and then you just get a sense that things are getting better, and I've had my jab.
Now, tell us about that now. Looking at you, John, I wouldn't say you were old enough to be able to have the jab yet. Talk us through it.
Well, it's kind of you to say so, Geoff. I was actually a trial from the 35 to 40-year-old age group. No, it was very good. I had a Dr. Ellis down at the Festival Hall, come in, we had a laugh and a joke, a bit un-PC. He said to me, it's only a little prick. And the nurse said to him, you can't say that. it was good. It didn't hurt. I felt fine afterwards. My arm was a bit tender. But it's all good. I've got between now 30% and 80% immunity, depending on who you've listened to. But obviously I'm better off than I was before.
How did you feel after it?
I felt fine. My arm was a bit tender, a bit sore. Still is, to be honest. Apart from the double vision and the headaches and the stumbling, which might be the dragon bitter boil.
So, has your typing arm been affected?
Not really. It's just been as lazy as usual, to be honest with you. No, it's fine. It doesn't hurt at all. It's just a bit tender when you lay on it, that's all.
So, John, we touched on a few things last week when we met up, and I thought you were going to be delivering an exclusive because you wouldn't tell me what was going on in Pullins Lane a week ago Friday.
Well, yes, it turns out it's a very sad case. It was a 74-year-old man died in his house. The police say there's no suspicious circumstances, but there's a file being prepared for the coroner. He lived there on his own, as far as I understand it. He either had a heart attack and died or took his own life, whichever one that is, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's really sad. And we'll move on from that. So, John, what's going to be in the Peepsville Post this week?
Well, seeing as my typing arm is very tired, there's going to be a bit on the East Hampshire District Council budget for the coming year. For the first time in more than 25 years, there was actually an opposition in the room when they voted on it, and the Liberal Democrats and the Labour councillors, 10 of them, voted against the budget, which is the first time that's happened in years. Almost 25% of the number of councillors were against it. It's a tricky thing. Who knows whether the council... It's so complicated, the council budget. It's not like doing your household shopping. It's hard to say whether they're doing a good job or not, to be honest.
Well, that'll be an interesting read, John, I'm sure. And anything else?
Yeah, there's some pictures of snowdrops and flowers and daffodils. Because, of course, I think it's St David's Day.
Let's go back to the well, shall we?
Oh, boy, oh. Yeah, so there is a lot of nature pictures. Notice I said nature, not naturalist. And, I think there's a general just mood of optimism. Some of the letters are quite light-hearted this week, I believe. And, it's just going to be I think we're heading into the summer and everybody's feeling a bit perkier.
Well, yes, we're stood here. I'm in my shorts. Always like to get my shorts on as soon as I can. I went on a lovely walk this morning over Berriton up to Kewy Park. Have you ventured out at all, John, for one of your famous walks?
Well, yeah, I've got a very nice walk that I do most days, which is about 2 miles. I go, it's in and around West Meehan. It takes me past a little row of cottages where they sell free-range eggs. And I have to say, Geoff, might be preaching to the converted here, but free-range eggs are far better than you can get in a supermarket. There's a real difference. I don't know what they put in those supermarket eggs, but the yolks are actually bright yellow.
Hello.
Oh, yes, and they taste fantastic. And then I go up to a little nature reserve where I had pleasure of seeing an owl the other day. I'm in the process of putting together a feature about the barn owl in and around Petersfield, a bit like the deer one, just to bring that up again for you. Yeah, there's a lot of wildlife. In fact, yesterday I saw an eagle surrounded by kites.
Now, that's interesting you bring that up, because a friend of mine who I went for a walk with this morning, his wife went up Butser Wednesday, and they saw this big bird, not Sesame Street, which can only be, I feel, the sea eagle that's flown over from the Isle of Wight. And they said the twitchers were out in force.
Yeah, I mean, it's the lady, your friend, is exactly right. I assume this eagle came from the Isle of Wight. There's no reason to think it came from anywhere else. And it is a hell of a sight. It was about, I don't know, 150 foot up, and it was just surrounded by kites having a look at it, red-tailed kites. It was an incredible sight to see. I mean, these things have got a wingspan that's huge, bigger than a man, and they're just up there. It's incredible, that's all I can say.
Yeah, and on my way to catch up with you today, I walked through the main car park, and there was actually a kite circling the car park. I say we are so lucky that these birds have come back to the area. They're a great sight.
Fantastic. It's really something. It's a program that started, I think it was around 2000, to bring them back, and it's really taken off. Did you see what we did there? Did you see that?
That was almost seamless, John.
And yeah, it's, I mean, in Shakespeare's time, they were knee-deep. They were as common as you like, apparently. They certainly seem to breed well and in numbers, and I think we're going to see a lot more of them, and I hope the eagles take off as well. Oh, it's just too good. I don't know how we do it for the money.
Yeah, some might say we actually script this, the way we interplay with each other.
I think you ought to be careful about using words like interplay on the public radio. But, of course, we are more than average intelligent and just make it up as we go along.
So, John, as we stand here in the sun, what's your hopes for the week?
Well, more sun. There's been a survey started, as you know, about the future use of the traffic in Petersfield. Is the bus gate going to stay? Is the bus gate going to go? I'm looking forward to seeing what the results of that are. I genuinely think we're in for an improving summer. It's just going to get better and better, and I'm hoping it's going to start this week. And if my boss is listening, a pay rise would be nice.
And there I think we'll leave it. John, thank you once again for catching up. It's great seeing you. Have a cracking week, and I look forward to catching up with you very, very soon.
Cheers, Geoff. You have a good week too, mate. See you next Sunday, I hope, in the same spot.
The Petersfield Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence, so please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain!
With the Queen Elizabeth Country Park right on our doorstep, we're spoilt for choice with options for walks, cycle rides or horse trails.
So, if you're a bit fed up of your usual routes and would like to find out about alternatives, look no further. Tim Speller has all the information you need, as Claire found out.
Hi, Tim. It's really great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining me in the Peapod this week.
A pleasure to be here.
Queen Elizabeth Country Park, it's right on our doorstep, being in the Petersfield area. And I, for one, don't utilise it as much as I should do. So it's really good to be able to talk to you to find out more about the park and to inspire us. Can you tell us a bit about the park and what it has on offer then, please?
Yeah, for sure. It's right on the A3 with roughly half to the east and half to the west. So very central, very easy to get to. Easy parking, and from then onwards, you've got two options. You go west onto the downland of Butser Hill, the highest point on the South Downs, which is full of the downland flora, great for the bird watching, the sheep and cows grazing their way through our conservation objectives. And then alternatively, you can go to the east of the A3, where there's more of the facilities. There's the barbecue sites, there are the play areas. We've got an assault course, a dog agility area. We've got about 23 miles of trail just within the Queen Elizabeth Forest to the east of the A3. And that's for cycling, for horse riding, for walking, all of those sorts of things. So that's the busy area. And then the Butser Hill side is the more quieter, kind of reflective area for the wildlife and then the landscape. And those two halves then cater for about 600,000 people a year. So we're Hampshire's biggest and busiest country park. We're looking at about a 2,000 acre holding altogether. So there's plenty of space for everyone, but still very busy, wide variety of different things going on.
Have you noticed a change in how people are utilising the park since the first lockdown began in March?
We obviously had the close down initially with no one. Then we had the first phase where people were moving in small groups, and we were very much a meeting place between two families. And those families might have been Bournemouth and Windsor. And so we were seeing a lot of new visitors, a lot of people still working within the rules, but maybe coming a long distance and coming to a place they hadn't visited before. With the current stage of lockdown, which is much more local, the numbers are reduced. And the very much local people, people that haven't come far, and it's generally single family groups and individuals. And so people doing their essential exercise rather than meeting on the more social side and having that picnic or barbecue. So very different type of visit from the early stages. And of course, we are looking forward to the next and hopefully final phase where we move out of the terrible situation into something that works for everyone.
Yeah, I think we all can't wait for that, can we really? with the restaurants being closed, do you offer any kind of drinks or eating facilities?
It's a takeaway service, so it's a grab and go. You can get a sandwich or a cake and a cup of coffee, but you're not able to stay in the building, and you're not allowed to sit down immediately outside and consume that food. So it really is a grab and go for people on the move. Really important. A lot of the people that are using the park are doing a lot of walking, a lot of running, a lot of cycling, and they're using serious amounts of energy. And so it's great for them just to be able to get a top up, but to do so safely.
Now, I've read that in the park, there's about 2,000 acres of open access woodland and downland. And that's a huge amount of area to look after and take care of. What plans have you got for the park?
If we put in a large amount of play equipment, an assault course, an adventure play area and a dog activity area, just going back a couple of years, and that's definitely had an impact on the visitor numbers. Lots of people are coming to make good use of those. The next stage for us, we have a new TOTS play area going in. We have a new educational area. We are working on a grant application for a cycle hub for improved cycle facilities. Very short term, probably in the next few weeks, we've got an automatic dog wash coming on site. So they'll be able to wash their dogs off before they head off back into their cars. So there's always something happening. We've got the next few projects lined up, and they're all linked to just improving the facilities. And we hope after all the use the park's had in the autumn, and it's been quite high for this season, our surfaces have really suffered. And so we're trying to do what we can to improve those.
Yes, those paths must have had quite a battering. What would you say to people who have not been to the park or have not utilised the park's trails that much, even in the lockdowns that we've had? What would you say to people to encourage them to try them out?
I think the first thing would be to have a look at the website, because that will give you a really good idea of the size, the scale. And because of that size, you do need to plan. You need to know, are you going east or west? Are you on the long distance trails? Are you going into the forest or onto the downland? And then to just plan that visit, make sure within the guidelines that it's appropriate, it's right for you. And then we do have a manned reception in terms of online or on the phone. And so there is always someone here 7 days a week that can answer a question if there's anything that crops up when you're having your visit, particularly if anyone's worried about getting lost or anything like that. So we will always have car parks, toilets, and someone at the end of a phone or email that can help you out. And I think that's really important to a lot of people.
The Butser Hill National Nature Reserve is also part of the park. I mean, I imagine conservation is a large part of what you do. What have you been putting in place to conserve the area?
In the winter time, we're doing quite a lot of the practical conservation tasks. So it might be clearing thorn scrub, some tractor work on cutting back in some areas. It will be fencing. So it's those essential kind of estate type tasks. When we move into the spring and summer, then there's monitoring of the key species. And for us, it's the silver spotted skipper. It's the Duke of Burgundy butterfly. It's a wide selection of orchids. And so through the year, there are these highlight species that are needing to be managed with a light touch, needing to be monitored. And then that's how we adjust the next winter's work and how we graze the hill in the best possible way. And we have 10 Exmoor ponies. We have a small herd of cattle and we have a medium-sized herd of sheep. And these guys are rotating round the hill, grazing where they're needed, trying to come up with the best combination that suits our public, that suits our dog walkers. And then we have a policy of dogs on leads where the livestock are living and dogs off a lead where they're not. And so it's a bit of a juggling act, but those key habitats and species are the main priority. A National Nature Reserve is, there's only 200 of them or so in the country. And so it's significant in terms of the quality and in terms of the size. And so we're charged with looking after it.
An interesting fact is that the park is actually twinned with another park in Uganda, with, again, the main emphasis on supporting conservation. How long were the parks been twinned together?
A long time. I couldn't give you an exact year. But at one point, looking back a good few years, we looked at all those other parks called Queen Elizabeth. And there are a few of them across the country and across the world. And it seemed like a fun link and a good place to start. And some of our staff and volunteers have made trips across there to help out, and there've been lots of fundraising events to help them also. And so it's been a fun project, but with a very real purpose behind it.
And I guess the conservations in all the different Queen Elizabeth parks are of different emphasis, but all with the same purpose.
Yes, very much, very much. And before Queen Elizabeth Country Park came into being, it was Queen Elizabeth Forest, long before it was a country park. And so, as with the longevity of our dear monarch, you know, it does go back a long time. And we have a couple of coronation trees planted here. So it's a name that, not just here, but lots of other places, that has a real resonance and goes back a very long time.
Talking of forests, I understand that forest yoga and forest bathing also has taken place in the park before. Obviously, not during lockdown, I'm assuming, but is that something that you're hoping it will come back again when we're able to be all together again?
Well, just before lockdown started, that was a major initiative for us last spring, and we got together with all sorts of wonderful people organising their own experiences as businesses in the local area, and it was as broad as dog training or mountain bike skills, the yoga, all sorts of really interesting things. So we got all these guys together. We put another page on the website. We started a marketing program. And just as lockdown was about to happen, we put posters on all the train stations from Petersfield up to Clapham. So we were ready to go. And it was really sad. And the campaign was running up to the summer solstice, where we were going to do an event on top of the hill. And that was going to be a night walk from Beacon Hill, from further along the Downs. And we have our own White Witch group that meets at the park regularly, and they know some druids. And so the dawn, the event, was going to be brilliant on top of Butser with the sun rising. And that would have been our spring and summer of new experiences. And, of course, all came to nothing. And this year, still curtailed. So we will get back to that as soon as we can. It's brilliant to be able to work with some of these incredible different activities that are happening in the area. And our most recent one that we've just signed up with is e-bikes, where you can hire a bike from Queen Elizabeth. You can cycle it down the Downs and down to Amberley, and then your bike will be taken care of and you can head off on your way. Sounds like a really good fun thing to do, particularly for those that aren't up for a 40-mile cycle under their own steam. And so it's just an example of some of the many, many experiences that we're trying to encourage. And we do now do our own camping here as well. And so to try and persuade people to come from further afield and to stay for longer.
Thanks to Tim Speller from Queen Elizabeth Country Park. Feeling thoroughly inspired now to get out on those trails.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Pea Pod.
Susie brings a wild wonder, not a walk this week, as she takes in the early signs of spring.
Wild walk is entirely different this week. I'm being stared at by a dog peering at me through the French windows, wondering why on earth she isn't out here. But it's twilight, and I hope you can hear that all the birds are singing before going to bed. It's been a really warm spring day. I just gave her a walk past the old mill very quickly, because actually we've spent the entire day in the garden, and that's sort of a first. And one of the things that we've been doing, I'm walking towards it now, is we've been doubling the size of the pond. And when I say pond, I really do mean pond. It had become, because it's wildlife, a bit of an overgrown puddle, to be completely honest. And now it was just so wonderful because we were digging it out and the robin was with us the whole time. And we have made it. I mean, it's absolutely not in any regards, I suppose, an overweening pond. But I hope it's going to attract dragonflies and things, because when we lived in Titchfield, we had everything. We even had newts. That was a really quite considerable, huge pond, really. You could probably... No, you couldn't swim in it, that's ridiculous, but you certainly paddle in it. And luckily all our Labradors have sort of kept out when barked at, and then they know they're not supposed to be in it. So I'm standing looking at it now, and it's already magical. I kept all the pond water from the other one, but obviously it got all messed about, but it's just settling now. And there's that reflection of the first stars just beginning to appear, just the very, very brightest. The moon is up there too, with a very slight aura over it, but that's also reflected in the pond. And the birds were just loving having baths in it and so on. So I just thought I'd share the quiet of the garden. Not the quiet, I suppose the hubbub of the birds going to bed. But just the quietness for a change. And I hope, like me, you do feel that things are just starting to improve and life will be restored, even if changed, because it goes on, as you can hear from the birds.
Thanks, Susie. And if you'd like to try out any of Susie's wild walks, they can all be found at shineradio.uk.
In the third instalment of the 60-second history series about the role of alcohol in Petersfield, Ryan Watts from the Petersfield Museum discovers more about one of the town's oldest and longest-running drinking establishments.
Daniel Defoe, author of Robinson Crusoe, once wrote a book about his travels through Britain, in which he mentions Petersfield. His entry about the town reads, "A town eminent for little, but being full of good inns." I'm Ryan from Petersfield Museum, and welcome to the next instalment of our 60-second histories, exploring the links between alcohol and Petersfield's history. The George Inn in Petersfield Square is not only one of the town's longest continuously running pubs, but quite possibly the oldest running business too. Found on the west side of the square, the George was originally a much larger premises, which stretched from the current building up to the corner with Sheep Street, the area now occupied by the library. The current attractive Victorian facade hides a much older timber frame building. So here it is, the history of the George in 60 seconds. The first landlord we were able to name for the George is Robert Edwards in 1591. In 1592, it was recorded that a stranger stopping at the George died and was subsequently buried in the churchyard of St. Peter's Church. The much larger original premises was one of five important coaching inns found in the town at the beginning of the 17th century. Although simply called the George, its sign traditionally shows St. George and the Dragon. The George has a history of being owned by mayors of Petersfield, with John Colebrook in 1604 and John Heather, who was mayor in 1697 and 1714. Towards the end of the 17th century, the coaching trade moved away from the square and onto the High Street, where the Portsmouth to London Road entered the town. As a result, the value and importance of the George declined. By 1752, the George became another property in the ownership of the Jolliffe family. Between 1811 and 1815, the George was divided up into three separate dwellings, two of them private dwellings, and the current pub, which had been the tap of the coaching inn, was refashioned into the building we know today. Although it has had many different owners, landlords and tenants, the George has been a drinking establishment in the town for over 400 years, without doubt making it one of Petersfield's oldest businesses. And there you have it, the history of the George in just 60 seconds. You can find out more about the history of alcohol in Petersfield on our YouTube channel. Just search Petersfield and Alcohol. Or explore the lost pubs of Petersfield with our downloadable walk, available on our website. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Ryan. Next week, the Petersfield Museum will bring a special selection of inspiring Petersfield women.
And if you'd like to join our volunteer team, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us on 01730 555 500 or send an email to pod@thepeapod.uk.
Coming up, Kate Fairweather finds out about Dee Dee, the police dog. And watch out, Petersfield is part of her patrol patch. But first, here are a few virtual events going on in the Petersphere.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
Join the debate about access to the town centre. Find out what the local plan is and how we can help to reach climate and carbon targets. The Active Travel and Petersfield Town Centre Open Forum is taking place on Wednesday the 3rd of March at 7:30 p.m. For more information and to sign up in advance, go to petersfieldsociety.org.uk.
As it's the first Sunday of the month, this coming Sunday, 7th of March, the Hampshire Farmers Market will take place in the town square from 10 till 2. It's good to support our local small businesses.
Should you need it, the Petersfield Town Council are manning the local lockdown helpline on 01730 779 296.
And there's always your local radio station, Shine Radio, to listen to. You can choose from a wide variety of programmes which are available to listen to on demand or tune in to the brighter mix of music, local news and weather. That's shineradio.uk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Shine Radio's Kate Fairweather can sometimes be found making delicious cocktails in her cocktail hour on a Friday evening, and other times meeting the frontline workers of the canine world.
I don't think she's mixed the two yet, but that could be interesting. Here she is in her latter role with Dee Dee, the police dog.
I've met up with Police Constable Beale. Thanks so much for taking time to talk to us. Can I call you Stacey?
You can, yeah, no problem.
Tell me about Dee Dee.
So, Police Dog Dee Dee is what we call a general purpose police dog. That means she's trained to find criminals that are hiding from us, track after they've left a scene of a crime. She can locate property that they've discarded en route, and she can also chase and detain somebody if they decide to run away. So every dog handler has a general purpose police dog. And then on top of that, we have our specialist search dogs as well. I've had Dee Dee since she was 18 months old. And that I took her on in 2018, and that involves a 12-week basic course with the dog.
Right.
All over places in Hampshire and Thames Valley. And then you're qualified as a successful team, and you can go out on the streets and police. So you have your certificate that you are a safe team to work together, and you go out and catch criminals.
And I'm looking at Dee Dee.
Particularly like the Belgian Malinois, because they're quite light on their feet. She only weighs 22 kilos, so she's one of the lightest dogs on the force. However, she is very athletic, and she can cover the ground at ease and with a lot of speed.
Do you get underestimated? What's
very
the expectation?
Very much so. The criminals will look at her and they will almost dismiss her capability because she's so small. And also, being a female handler as well, they think sometimes they have the upper hand.
Right.
So they will chance their luck and they will try and run away.
And what happens in that case?
If I'm justified to send the dog to detain that person, I will obviously do so, but I have to challenge them first and give them an opportunity to give up. Yesterday I had a job and I had to put the dog into the roof space.
Wow.
So I had to climb up a ladder with the dog on my shoulders, put her through the loft hatch, and then try and get her back down again once she'd searched the whole roof. So if you imagine that being a 40 kilo German Shepherd,
that wouldn't really work.
That wouldn't have even happened. So yeah, it's quite nice. We have a bit more capability with her size, I think. I can get her into smaller spaces. She can also be used to push people back, so to control crowds. She does the work of about 10 to 15 officers.
In terms of persuading people to move back to where you want them?
Politely persuading them, I like to put it. With her lovely toothy smile.
Tell me about your relationship with her as a dog.
She doesn't come in the house, but she's my work partner. So she's with me probably more often than my pet dogs. So we have a very good relationship, but it's totally different to that of my pet dog.
Does she enjoy her work?
I'd have to say she loves it.
How do you know?
She gets very bored if I've got a few days off and she will start bouncing around in the kennel. But I think she just lives to work. That is her ethos in life. She just likes being out doing things, interacting with people. And she's actually very good around other dogs, so I can go out into public open spaces and not have to worry if a little furry thing comes running over to say hello.
How much is it about the dog? How much is it about the relationship? How do you...
It's a bit of
what's
everything.
Your feeling? I understand it's not a set answer.
So when you first go on to... With the general purpose dogs, when you go to your first initial training course, you don't know what dog you're getting.
Okay.
So you
this is because you have applied to the dog section. You're going to be trained as a handler.
As a handler.
And before you get anywhere near a puppy.
Yeah, first few days that you're on the section having your training, they have new dogs and they will match you with your personality and attitude towards the right dog.
Interesting. And how What are they looking for? What qualities make you and Didi a good pair? A good pair of colleagues?
I think we've both got a very similar ethos to work. We just want to get the job done. We don't mess about. We'll go in, we'll deal with an incident, and then we'll get out and sort of debrief it afterwards. Hers usually involves a treat if she's done a good job.
Thanks, Kate. You can hear more about PD Diddy and other dogs on the front line in Kate's Dogs with Jobs programme at shineradio.uk.
And so we come to the end of another Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks also to our guests Tim Speller, Kate Fairweather, PC Beale, PD Diddy, Ryan Watts, Susie Wild and John Walker, and to the amazing team at Shine Radio who support the show and help to put it together.
This week it's the turn of Havant-based band Barbudo to end the show with their upbeat track Magnolia Mansion. Brothers Harry and Ben Stanworth with Elliot Salter bring an easygoing funk sound with a modern twist. You can find out more about them from the usual social media platforms.
Next week we'll be featuring many inspirational women from our town as we celebrate International Women's Day.
So from Joff and I this week,
bye!
We need to have a plan.
Stay at home and make it shine.
You've got it.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.
It's about staying as local as we can and helping as many people in the community as we can.
Joff continues his bromance with John Walker from the Petersfield Post.
You do look lovely. You're the only person I see every week.
Motivation is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hello, my name is Matthew. I'm from Class 1G at Church's College, and this is a song I spent hours listening to in lockdown.
I was walking past College Street and saw the phone box. So I had an idea that I'd start a little bookshop. It's really just come in and help yourself.
We've got lovely Lucy with us and Harrison, who's playing with some knobs.
The real pleasure is in the bass.
Bassline for Jeff.
Stupendously crunchy.
I'm feeling quite patient about the whole thing.
Stay at home and make it shine.
Slightly intimidated by being told so precisely what to do.
Great lockdown listening from Petersfield's Shine Radio.